of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magadan. Stay tuned and focused in that Word of Life ministered to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
And when you have that and you're looking at verse number one, I want you to say, I have the word and I'm ready to receive it. I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, and as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except ye abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do no thing. If a man abide not in me, and he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Amen. May God of the blessing of those hearers and doers of his word, the grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Thanking God for all of you, the music ministry, the ministers and deacon, deaconesses, friends, family, visitors, grace from our Father and peace, and let the peace of God be multiplied in your life in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to look at those few verses on this Father's Day, and I want to, in the text, also express the Father's relationship with us. And so I want to use for a simple topic, our relationship with the Father. Amen. And that should be the most important relationship that we have. Amen. Amen. And when you think about our relationship with the Father, there is no other relationship more important. And sometimes we allow other people and other relationships we have with people get in the way of our relationship with our Father. And today we need to make sure that we clear those things up. And if there's some things that are in the way between us and the Father, we need to straighten those things up so that we can be productive once again. Amen? Amen. Amen. So the gospel according to St. John, when we read this gospel, of course, it is written by the disciple, or we could call him the Apostle John, whose message was about love. And I noticed that when you walk with Jesus, or when you hear the teachings of Jesus, sometimes there are going to be some things that in your life that you're just going to grab hold to. And John, during his time of walking with Jesus, we find out that he grabbed hold of one thing. He grabbed hold of the most significant thing that Jesus taught us. He grabbed hold of love. Because if you read his message from the gospel according to St. John, and you go to 1st, 2nd John, and even in the book of Revelation, you'll find that his message never changed, and it was always love. He says, John says, greater love had no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. He remembered Jesus said that. Then he says that if you can't love, then you have not God, because God is love. Right. He also talks about how even in the book of Revelation, how we ought to have our love toward God. Amen. And so John knew the message. And at 100+ years old, when he was just an older man, and he was at Ephesus with Timothy, the bishop of the church at Ephesus, John had the same message at 100 years old. The legend says that John would call his the people close to him because of his frail voice at 100 plus years old, and the people, the young men would carry him, and he would call them close to him, and all he would say was love. He would tell them to love one another as Christ has loved us. And so the message should never change. And in the day that we live in, the message has taken a turn, because the message not always is love. Sometimes, and I listen to, and I listen to other preachers. I'm not one of those preachers that can't listen to others, but I listen to other preachers, and I find out that sometimes the message is not always love. Sometimes it's all about them. Sometimes it's all about vengeance. Sometimes it's all about punishment. But when we start to look and understand and know God, you start to know him in the way of love. And even if we are being punished, the Bible says that he chastened those that he loves. So I can't understand why we can't get a message sometimes that is a message that produces love, and it invokes love in me and provokes me to love my neighbor as myself. Well, let me go on here. But John is a writer that he was an eyewitness of the things that Jesus did. He was an eyewitness, and John's book, his writing was to everybody, you know, because there were certain other gospels that was wrote to different ones, you know. But John wrote to everybody, like Matthew wrote to the Jews and Luke wrote to the Gentiles, but John wrote to everybody. And John wanted everybody to know who God was. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was letting us know that Jesus himself was every expression that God wanted to say to us. Because the Jews had it all wrong. They thought God was only the God of punishment. If you break a law, you're going to be punished. But Jesus came to let them know, I came that you might have life, and that more abundantly. Amen. And so here it is, Jesus is now in chapter 14. He is now at the hardest time of his life. He's about to go, and he's about to face the hardest things that he's ever faced in his human life. He's about to go and be persecuted or crucified. He's about to be lied on. His beard is about to be plucked out, and he's about to be arrested and beaten for doing nothing but the will of God. Isn't that something, how when you try to do the right thing, it seems like everybody got a problem with that? But as long as you're doing wrong, ain't nobody got a problem with nothing you do. They'll cheer you on as long as you got wrong going on. Oh, yeah, man, go ahead. You know, turn up. But as soon as you turn down and you say, I'm going to do this for Jesus, then something wrong. They got, oh, look, oh, you supposed to be a Christian. Because you won't get into their folly. Come on and say amen here. But Jesus was at the hardest time. He was about to be tried. And he now had been in the upper room explaining to his disciples that my time of departure has come. And I'm about to leave. But I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to leave you with the Holy Spirit. And so there is no excuse for us as Christians that we can't walk the walk that God has given us to walk. Because we have help. The Bible says the Holy Ghost is the Paracletos, meaning the one who comes to help us. And so you can't say that you can't turn the other cheek, because you ain't trying. If you just give it to him, he'll help you to turn. I wish I had somebody. You can't say that you can't forgive, because if you just let him work in your life, you can what? Forgive. You can give your enemy water when he's thirsty, bread when he's hungry, all because you have the Holy Ghost and you don't respond or react as though you don't have him. Jesus told him, I'm going away and I'm going to leave you with the Holy Ghost. So he says, and on his way to from the upper room, and I tell you, that upper room, I always like to talk about how much power it seemed that the upper room still has today. In my visit, I had an experience in the upper room that I can remember, and I can still feel it when I think about it in my mind. I still feel the same power and anointing of that day. Amen. And Jesus, they were leaving the upper room, and they were going down to the Garden of Gethsemane, because Jesus desired that he would pray before he faced his trials. You see, there's something there we can take a lesson from Jesus here, because many of us, instead of praying before our trials, we pray when we get in. Preach. We must pray before we get to the trial, so we'll know how to act in the trial. That's why we don't know how to act when we go through stuff. We go crazy. We want everybody. We blasting people out. We on social media. We telling people off. We fussing and gruffing and puffing at people when they speak to us. I just ain't in the mood. And we going through some stuff. But if you can prepare yourself, if you can pray before you get there, You can go through just like Jesus did. The Bible said that he didn't say a mumbling word. When he was questioned, he just answered, and he just sat there and let them assume. He didn't have to explain himself. So why do we explain ourselves? I don't have to explain why I do what I do. I just need to say, Lord, you know. And if I'm doing his will, then it's all right. Amen. Oh my God. So here it is now. He's going to the Garden of Gethsemane, and on the way walking, he has a conversation with his disciples. And he's trying to get them to understand that whenever things go down, you need to stay put. Amen. Whenever things go wrong, you need to stay in your place. When things are about to erupt, but I need you to stay focused, like we've been talking about. Amen. We must stay focused when things are not going our way and when they're about to erupt. Jesus is letting them know that you got to stay right where you are. Stay where I put you. Stay where I planted you. Stay where I have anchored you in. Amen. And so Jesus goes on to say, as in verse 1, he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, here it is. This is the portrait of our relationship with God. This is the portrait, in a nutshell, of how our relationship with God. He said, I'm the true vine. In other words, I'm the genuine. I'm the real McCoy. I am the one and only real vine that's going to get you some production. Amen. I'm the only thing and the only one that you can truly abide in, and I can be the source of your supply. Anybody know that he'll be a source of your supply? He will be your provider. And so he's saying that I am the source of your strength. I am the strength of your life. If you can stay with me, you won't fail or faint. Come on and say amen in here. So he says that here's a portrait. He says, I am the true vine. In other words, they were probably passing by, and at this time of year, during the Passover in March, April time of year, the grapevines would just start to begin to bud, and they begin to grow. And they were probably passing by, and Jesus said, I see a message in the grapes. And so he decided that he's going to tell them that I'm the true vine. Just as the grapes, you got to stay in the vine. And he says, but my Father is the husbandman. In other words, not only I'm the genuine and the true and one and only vine, but my Father is the only real gardener here. He's the only real owner. He's the keeper. Amen. And he said, so my Father is the husbandman. He's the one that's going to keep us. He's the one that planted us here. He's the one that put us here. I wish I had somebody. God put us here for a reason, and none of us are a mistake. None of us came by happen chance or circumstance. We all came because God intended for us to be here. Just as our fingerprints and our eyes are unique, we are uniquely sent here for a purpose and for God's will. Amen. Nobody exists just for naught. I know we think, and I wondered, I said, Lord, what in the world is the purpose of the mosquito? But they got a purpose. Amen. So everything that God created has a what? Purpose. And you have a purpose. Remember that. You are a purposeful people. You have a purpose in God. But that's the key. You got to be in God. If you're outside of God, then you won't fulfill your purpose. You won't know who you are, where you are. You won't even know where you're going. You won't even know where you ought to be. You'll bounce from here and there. You'll jump from place to place trying to find your spot. And your spot is in Christ. So here he says that my Father is the what? Husbandman. And in other words, he not only, when you look at the husbandman, let's think about some of the things that he do. And Jesus went down. This is a good lesson, because Jesus went down and he said, my Father's a husbandman. And he's talked about the branches. He started to say, this is what he do. He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, I know we've heard in the past, I've heard, and I might even said it myself, that how God will just take you away. If you ain't doing something, he'll break you off. And just, that ain't what that means. You know what it really means? It means if you're a gardener, that as God is, if you are a husbandman as God is, and you walk in your field, and don't you know God will walk in the field of your life? God will examine your life. He will inspect your fruit preaching here. God will look and see what you're producing. And so God walks through your life and he sees your leaves laying in the dirt. He decides to lift them out of the dirt so that they might begin to produce. In the garden, if a branch is in the dirt, it can't produce. It has to come up out of the dirt, because if it's in the dirt, the insects eat it up. The ants come and they eat up whatever fruit it is. And so when you're wondering why in the world is all of my fruit being eaten up and it seems like I'm not being productive, you need to get out of the dirt. David said, he picked me up out of the mire. miry clay and place my feet on a rock. I wish I had somebody here. You need to be propped up with the word of God. He needs to lift you up. The Bible says that he'll be the lifter of your head. God will lift you up. Yes, he will. He'll lift you up. And so he said that my father, who happens to be the husbandman, in other words, he's dedicated to this vineyard. He's dedicated to this vine. He's dedicated to making sure that we will produce. The Bible says that he that had begun a good work in you, he shall finish it or complete it to the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to know it's not on me to do this thing. It's on God. And God will do what he said he would do. I wish I had somebody. The Bible said God is not man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Boy, I think I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen up in here. You got to understand that God is the one that does it all. If nothing that is going to be done, it's not going to be done through God. He does everything. And John said in the first chapter, he said, without him was not anything made that was made. So it has to be God to make it work. So he said that he said if there's a branch that does not bear fruit, he said, my father, he's going to lift it up. Or basically, he'll take it away out of the dirt. And he said, and so that it may bring forth more fruit. So God wants our life to be productive. He wants our life to produce fruit that's meat for the master's use. Come on and say amen there. And so he said, not only will the Father cause us to be productive, but the Father, he's going to protect us. Amen. He's going to protect us, and he's going to keep the insects from eating away at us and taking away the things that he's blessed us with. You know, sometimes you wonder where all your money went. Oh, you know, I just don't understand what's happening in my life. It seems like everything is being taken away, but God is going to lift you if you let him. God will lift you if you let him. Come on and say amen. Now, he says that not only that, but he said that he purged it. And we got to understand that God sometimes purges us. There are some things that bud in our life, but they're not producing like they should. And so God says, let me stop this right now, because all this is something that's taking away life from something else that can be productive. We have too many things attached to our life sometimes that's taking away the life in us. Then whereas if we would get rid of that, we can be so much more productive. I wish I had somebody. Let me share something with you. I said something to myself one day, and maybe it was the Holy Ghost that revealed it to me, but I was thinking about all the people I had been, you know, tight with, and all the things that I had going on in my life. And I said, you know what, if I could just, you know, if these things or these people don't bring out the best in me, I think I need to just be, you know, I need to love them, but I just don't need to hang with you every day, because you don't bring out the best in me. In other words, you don't bring good, you don't make my life productive. You bring my life to an unproductive state. So I just need to let God prune. And sometimes we cry when God begin to prune our life. Sometimes we cry when God begin to take things away from our life, because the pruning sometimes hurt, but the pruning is best for us so that we can produce what God purposed us to produce. Tell somebody, don't get angry when he prunes you. Amen. And sometimes prunes are good for something. How many know that? Prunes are good for moving some things in your life. You may have some blockages in your life and you need some. Y'all looking at me funny. You ain't never ate prunes before. You need something to help clean you out, because you got so much junk that you've been, oh, come on and say amen, that you've been ingesting and digesting. You got so much stuff that's packed in there that you need some prunes to clean you out. Now you, after you get rid of the stuff, you can love. God can put some good stuff in there. You can grow. God can make you feel better. You wake up in the morning, I feel so much better since God pruned me. I feel so regular. Come on and say amen. Y'all with me today? Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. He said, not only that does he prune us, but look at this. He purify us. He says, look at this. He says that now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. We need the word. I was sharing with somebody who spoke. I said, look, just, you know, you can testify, you can do all that, you can do everything you say you want to do, but if you don't get some word, you ain't gonna stand. I was just sharing. I said, you're not going to stand. You can talk all about what God has done for you, but let me tell you, that's the last thing you're going to be able to say, because you're going to go into a state of depression, or you're going to crash and burn because you can't get no word. Yeah. You've got to have the word. And what does the word do here? The word, according to what Jesus is saying, the word cleans us. The word cleans us. And so any good gardener wouldn't let his garden just stay there without washing sometimes. He wants some water sometimes in the garden. I wish I had somebody. So God, he gives us his word. The Bible says by the washing of the water, by the what? Word of God. In order for us to stand, we must have the word of God. And when we have the word of God, we're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're able to resist the devil. That's what Jesus did when Satan came to him and said that, you know, he was going to tempt him. And Jesus had fasted 40 days. He was the word of God. And every time Satan had something to say, Jesus said, here, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone. Even though I'm hungry, I know what God said, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, he told him, he said thou should not put any god before me, but serve the Lord thy God only. He said that I should not tempt the Lord my God. Jesus reminded the devil, you think you crafty in the word, I am the word. And so we need to get so much of the word till we become the word. To whenever I go through something and things hit me and seem like I'm caught off guard, I need to realize that the word of God need to come up. Amen. I don't need to cuss out. I need to bless out. I wish I had somebody. I don't need to act a fool. I need to be calm and cool so that I can get God's peace and his joy on the inside of me. Amen. So he says that if you abide in me, verse 4, I'm trying to hurry through this. He says that if you abide in me, my word abide in you. Well, let's see. If you abide in me and I in you, and the branch cannot bear the fruit of itself except you abide in the vine, no more can you except ye abide in me. And Jesus goes on to tell them that you got a purpose here. You got a purpose. And if we look at verse 4 on down, he talks about how we have a purpose, and that purpose is to become fruitful. Amen. God sent his word, didn't he? He sent his word. What? Not only heal, I know we say that, but he sent his word to prosper the thing. This is Bible study now. The thing whereunto he sent it. So God sent his word to me, and God sent his word to you. God's intention is for us to prosper. But we spend more time worrying about us not prospering that we can't see that God already intended for us to prosper. We spend so much time worrying about somebody stopping our blessing. Let me tell you, if the devil could stop it, he would. And since he can't, he just worried a mess out of you so you stop your own blessing. That's what he does, he gets your mind off of what God intended. He gets your mind in doubt. He gets your mind in worry. You, instead of worrying, just pray and thank God for what he's about to do. Anytime the devil turns up pressure in your life, anytime he start talking about you, anytime he start putting you down, anytime he start trying to scare you, you just need to know that God has something in store, because he don't want you to walk in faith. The Bible said the just shall live by faith, and we walk by faith and not by sight. And so I can't walk by what I see. I just need to go by what I know. What do you know? I know he won't fail me. I know he'll never leave me. I know that he'll be the lifter of my head. I know that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. Do I have anybody in here that say, I'm with you, that I know that as many as weapons that form up against me, they shall not prosper? I know that he came that I might have life and that more abundantly. Come on and shout hallelujah and give God some praise in here. Come on and give him glory. Hallelujah. But he goes on to say, not only do you have a purpose, because God, when he created everything, he created it with a purpose. Notice that God didn't put a man in the earth. He didn't put a man in the earth till he had already created everything that the man needed. And when he put the man in the earth, he put the man there, and he didn't let it even rain until after that. Come on and say amen. He didn't let things grow until after that. The earth came up and there was a mist. There was a mist came up from the earth and it watered everything. He didn't let nothing grow until there was a man. Everything has a purpose. Eve was created because she had to be the helper to make sure things get done right. I wish I had somebody. So everything has a purpose, and God intends for everything in his vineyard to be able to produce what he intended for it to produce. Oh, glory be to God. You wondering why you keep going through the same trial? Because you hadn't produced yet. Amen. It's because you hadn't produced. You keep going through the same thing over and over because you haven't produced while God had put you in it the first time. Amen. So let's go on here. If you will find out that in verse 5 and 6, you'll find out that there's punishment. He said, I'm the vine and you are the branches, and you abide in me and I in him, and the same bring forth much fruit. And without me, you can do what? Nothing. We can't do anything without him. But the Bible says through Christ, I can do what? All things. And we need to realize that that is absolutely nothing that you can do. I'm trying to encourage somebody today. Would y'all just be encouraged this morning? There's absolutely nothing that you cannot do if you just do it in Christ. But sometimes we try to do it on our own. We don't even pray about it. We think, oh, it's a good idea, but it may not be a God idea. I need to let God, oh, come on and say amen. Give me the thoughts and ideas that I need. Sometimes it's a setup from the devil, but thank God that what the devil means for bad, God is always able to turn it around for my good, because the Bible says that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to the called according to his purpose. I gave you some word today. You need to accept this. The Bible said if God be for us, then who can be against us? Anybody in here realize that if God is for you, the world might as well be, because they can't win against you because of the power of God that's resting in you? The Bible says that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I wish I had somebody in here. We are more than conquerors through him that love us. We are overcomers because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our own testimony. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all waiting on the close. That was it right there. he says that we have some punishment. Verse 6 said, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Amen. You better watch when you keep saying, this just burning me up. They burn me up. Well, yeah, you just got out of Christ. They can burn you up because, you know, it's hard to burn a green branch. One with sap and life in it. I wish I had somebody. But once it's dead, it's easy to burn. It'll burn fast. And so I'm not so easy to get burned up. You got to put some stuff on me to burn me up. Because I'm able to stand against someone. And you know, that is the main reason why the fire couldn't touch Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because the Bible says that as